Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie.
And I'm Art Malin.
And welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Jim Goble down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we've got an interesting interview with Kevin Bushnick from the Youth Conservation Alliance. And lastly, some great tips from Hayward Area Fishing Guide Dave Grazio. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Just in time for prime riding and hunting season, the Can-Am Yellow Tag event offers incredible deals on ATVs and side-by-sides at Hayward Power Sports. Claim up to $2,000 in rebates or up to a 5-year warranty on remaining 2015s. For ATV fans, the Outlander L offers a 5-year warranty or take the rebate and get into an Outlander L 450 for under $6,000. You'll love the best-in-class power and superior handling. Looking to get that awesome side-by-side? The Can-Am Maverick XRS offers a $1,000 rebate and a 2-year warranty, or take the standard warranty and claim a $1,500 rebate. The new 2016 models are arriving daily, and the 2015s need to go. We have a great selection of ATVs and side-by-sides, but the Yellow Tag event is limited to stock on hand, and they'll go fast. Now's the time. Can-Am, the ride says it all. Stop by Hayward Power Sports today, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Offer ends October 31st, 2015. ATVs can be hazardous to operate. Can-Am ATV riders must be at least 16 years of age and have taken a training course. Always wear a helmet. Can-Am side-by-sides are not intended for on-road use. See Hayward Power Sports for complete program details.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brats, sausages, and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky for fall hunters and anglers, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 to 6, and on Sundays 10 to 3. Lynn's Meats and Custom Catering, located right next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward.
This is Amy Belke of Timber Ford of Hayward. September is truck month, and we have a ton of trucks. The Ford F-150 is America's best-selling truck and has been for 38 years straight. Take home a 2015 F-150 XLT Super Cab or Crew Cab of your choice and receive a total cash savings of up to $7,300, or lease an F-150 for only $219 a month for 24 months. Don't miss out. Timber Ford of Hayward is commitment-driven and community-focused. You're going to love how we do business.
Starting this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and Art, it's still warm out there for this time of year as we're speaking.
Yeah, it really is, and I think it's going to be one of the warmer times that we've ever had for a muskie ink tournament, which is occurring this weekend.
You bet. As we're airing this, tournament's going on, the last day of it. Anyway, as far as the fishing out there, we got Jim Goble in here. Jim, what have you been seeing for the fish out there?
I think fishing has been overall pretty decent. The muskie bite seems to be picking up. Sucker bites really starting to pick up. We still have warm temps out there, though, for the water temp this time of year, but the fishing activity has been fairly decent. Walleye bite, I'm not hearing a lot of great things. Guys are getting some fish. It sounds like they're still down pretty deep.
You know what I've noticed is with the temperatures, as we are recording this, temperatures are right around that mid-60 degree range, which is at least 5 to 8 degrees warmer than what we normally would see at this time of year. What I'm seeing is that these fish are just as active and sometimes more active on lures than they have been on suckers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, like I say, the last few days I've seen the sucker bites start to pick up. But yeah, they're still doing well on artificial baits too, little topwater, bucktails.
I think that's true because this is a cold-blooded creature and it's warm. So what do you think? They're going to be feeding right now. The females are producing eggs. They need a lot of protein. And so I think that that's kind of normal.
Jim, how about walleye fishing? You hearing anything there yet?
Like I said earlier, it seems like it's a little bit soft right now. A few of the guides that come through the shop on a regular basis, they're getting a few. It could be a great day one day and the next day nothing. But again, it sounds like they're a little bit deeper in that, you know, 20, 25-foot range.
Are they getting them primarily on 3-inch sucker minnows, or are they going to crawlers?
Well, some of the guys are using fatheads. A lot of guys are using walleye suckers. We're selling a few crawlers. I'd say the bite's turning over towards minnow a little bit more.
And I think it'll get better as it gets cooled down here. Crappie fishing, that's been good, though.
Yeah, it has been on most lakes. The key with the crappie is locating them. Once you locate them, they're active. I think they're still suspending on most of the lakes over deeper water. Obviously, the use of electronics is really crucial. But once you find them, it sounds like the guys are doing real well.
If you're fishing Chautauqua, you're going to find that they aren't where they were this summer.
They move around. I mean, yep. They really do.
Yeah, big schools. And bass fishing, smallmouth bass in particular.
Hearing a few guys doing pretty decent on that. Sounds like they are too deep on some of the lakes, but they're going to start moving in shallower. Calm days, topwater baits are still killer. Jig and a craw work well. Obviously, crawlers, a lot of guys will use fatheads too, or walleye suckers for them.
I know, Art, you've been using craws.
Yeah, I've been using craws and pretty successfully, and I'm finding that those smallmouth are in 4 feet of water, but rocky.
Rocky bottoms.
You know, and northern pike action should start to pick up. Once we get down in that mid-60-degree range, some of these fish start moving in from out in open water, and usually the quality pikes start to show up.
I'm hearing quite a bit of the pike action picking up. In fact, guys that are musky fishing are catching a lot of big pike now.
That's true, and if you go on Sand Lake, for example, and expect to get a big pike, you might.
You know, as far as the hunting seasons are open here, too, and I know you guys got equipment and stuff in here for hunting, too. It looks like from the reports now that all the game birds, pheasants, which it doesn't affect us much up here, but grouse and turkey, they all had good years as far as broods and stuff.
Yeah, and I've just not heard a lot of guys going out grouse hunting yet. I've sold a lot of license in the last few days. So they're starting to get out there. Obviously, leaves are on the trees yet, makes it a little bit tougher to get them cagey birds. But I've not heard a lot on what the numbers are like. I have heard a lot of guys seeing a lot of woodcock around.
That's interesting. But the hatching period for the grouse was excellent this year, this spring. And so I think the numbers are going to be up in our area, not all areas of the state.
We need to get rid of some of the leaves out there, though. But I don't know what you got there, Art.
Well, the only thing relating to hunting is that Hodgkin's is recalling a 6-lot of IMR, legendary powder, and that number is 4007 SSC. If you're using it, it becomes unstable. Send it back. Contact Hodgkin's 1-800-622-4366.
Yeah, you know, and one thing I'm going to get Jim on here while he's still here is that you guys got bait here. This time of year, it seems like just about everything, bigger baits seem to be more effective.
Yeah, I mean, as we get colder temps, it certainly is, you know, it's true. Most of the guys are still using small and mediums right now for the suckers for the muskie. One thing I'm feeling pretty good about, looks like we should have a good supply of muskie suckers this year. We've had a hard time the last few years.
I don't know, and even for smallmouth bass. So once we get into October, you know, I tend to go toward northern pike suckers for smallmouth if I'm looking for the big smallmouth, not the walleye size.
Sure, and I've got some guys doing that right now already in September, so.
But you want to be careful. You don't want to let that fish ingest that sucker.
That's why I fish them on jigs. Usually on a jig, it's not quite as critical. If you fish them on a single hook, they're going to ingest it fairly quick.
Right.
Well, Jim, I know you guys got all the gear and stuff down here for fall fishing, and also you got a lot of stuff for hunting here.
Yep, we are pretty much loaded with everything.
And I want to thank you for taking the time to be on here with us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And Art, you know, we need to take a break and hear from some of our fine sponsors when we come back. I've got an interview with Kevin Bushnick, who heads up the Youth Conservation Alliance that did that big youth muskie hunt that just happened on Moose Lake a week or so ago. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area. Stop in and check out the huge selection of fall muskie, bass, walleye, and panfish tackle. They also have a great selection of tree stands, camo, ammunition, scents, hunting supplies, and much more. Gear up for the fall at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And while you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area.
Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine. They're located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is the local Evan Rude Johnson authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore stations. Need a boat or pontoon for a few days? Call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with mechanics on duty Monday through Saturday.
Call Earl's Marine today at 634-4783. Anglers, if you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402, or Art Malin at 715-865-2336, or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com, and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin and Art. You know, we talk about the youth programs all the time, and we've got several different youth programs up here in the Hayward area. We've got the Hayward Bass Club has a youth event. Muskies Inc. has a youth event. Sawyer County Outdoor Projects has a family and a youth event. A lot of things going on, and one of the things that comes in to the area from down in Illinois is the Youth Muskie Hunt, which is put on by the Youth Conservation Alliance. And there's kids from all over the Midwest that show up at that thing.
What were the numbers this year? How many kids came?
Right around 60 kids. It was a phenomenal number of muskies caught. And it was funny because it was me and Daryl and Nybauer and Larry Ramsell were guiding that event, as well as a whole lot of other people. And, you know, we were thinking at first that moose was way off because of the drawdown. We didn't even want to go near the lake. He says, can we go someplace else? And what, as it turned out, the first day the fish went crazy out of the lake.
Yeah, you're catching most of those fish on live bait?
Both, live bait and lures out there. Anyway, I had a chance to talk to Kevin, and he kind of fills us in as to what was caught and stuff. So let's hear this neat little interview, and we come back, we'll have more on your outdoors. Well, Kevin, as we're sitting here recovering from yet another youth muskie hunt, another event, a great event as we speak here.
Yeah, this one was our biggest event ever. We had nearly 60 kids, and of course, it's not just the kids. The parents come along, moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles. So we had well over 100 people participate this year, and it was we actually had over 50% new participants, which is always nice to see. So new families coming into the event, as well as repeat customers, as I call them, kids and families that we watch develop over year over year.
You know, and you know what, all ages you're talking about too, it seems like. What's the age range?
So this year we had kids from, we even had a couple five-year-olds. They weren't necessarily throwing big musky baits, but they were out fishing and experiencing, the outdoors here up in Moose Lake. But we had kids, generally speaking, they were between 7 and 15 years old.
And you had, I know you had myself and Larry Ramsell and Daryl Nybauer there, but you also had, and Roger Williamson, but you had a bunch of guides coming helping from all over.
We did. We had probably four or five guides from Illinois come up from the Fox River Valley chapter of Muskies, Inc. We also were visited by the president of Muskies, Inc., Carl Phillips, who really wanted to see. He's heard about these events over the years, but he really wanted to come up and see it firsthand, and we're really glad he did. And it was really great to, I can't do this without the guides. And a lot of these guys volunteer their time for 2.5 days. It's a wonderful thing to see. Some of them drive 400 miles one way just to take another kid's, a kid out fishing. It's very heartwarming to see it.
Well, there's other stuff besides the fishing too. You've got, some presentations, and you have food and.
Right. So we do a couple different things. I have several educators. One of them's Michelle Groves is a professor of environmental sciences out of Oakland College in Illinois, and she has the kids go through water quality testing. They look at things like pH and dissolved oxygen, and they don't get too deep into the science, but she does enough with the kids to keep their interest. And we actually took water samples from different areas of the lake where we actually caught fish. So in this case, there's probably 20 to 30 different areas of the lake where we took separate water samples.
It sounds like it was I know it was a great event, Ben. How many fish? Now, this is a question the guys got. This is amazing.
I know. So this is the big question, and I actually, last night, I had to count it myself five times just to make sure. I always want to see the same number three or four times at least before I determine that's the final number. But we caught 68 muskies this year in 2.5 days.
Oh, that's impressive. And there was how many kids fishing?
Roughly 60 kids.
Yeah, interesting. You know, this is a, what number event is this? Fifth, sixth, seventh? What?
Yeah, I actually started doing these back in 2008, but this particular event up in Moose Lake, this is our sixth year.
Yeah, your organization, it's the Youth Conservation Alliance based out of Illinois.
You do a lot more stuff than a muskie hunt, though.
We do. We do all types of events throughout the year. We've done camping events. We, of course, do the youth muskie hunt. We also do regular fishing events where it's multi-species, bass fishing, northern pike. We do various school programs throughout the year. We teach hunter safety classes. We have several firearms instructors. And we like to teach not only the dads and the moms how to be safe around guns, but we always like to see the kids participate in these firearm safety classes.
Up in our area here, it's the youth muskie hunt. Is this open to anybody, or what's...
It really is, and we don't even advertise it anymore. This was our biggest event ever, and I didn't even put it up on the website, really, until a couple days before, just for the purpose of registering. But people come to me. They find us from all over the north central U.S. One parent found us from southern Illinois. She works down in Bloomington at State Farm in southern Illinois, and she found us somehow online, and they were up there, and their son won one of the trophies this year. So, it's kind of amazing how people find their way to us.
Yeah, I know I've had people ask me about it, even up here, about can the kids get to it or what. Where do they find the website at?
So the website is www.theyca.org. We also have a Facebook page, so you can look us up on Facebook under the Youth Conservation Alliance. And, there's usually a lot of things online, certainly a lot of articles in the Sawyer County Record on the events we've done up here. So there's definitely, just go out and Google us, and you'll find the YCA out there.
You know, we've got several organizations right around here that work with the kids, too. And, it's important to get the kids out there and get them in the outdoors, because there's so many things that distract them and get them going on the other stuff nowadays, it seems.
Absolutely true. And, I spent some time with Governor Walker during the fishing opener. He was up here this May in Hayward, and he was with the Secretary of the DNR, a woman named Kathy Stepp. Very, very good person, very nice lady. She gets it. The Secretary of Tourism was also up here. And this is very important, not only to the kids and to the families, but to the health of the state of Wisconsin financially. It's a multi-billion-dollar-a-year business. And fishing and hunting licenses and activities in general with kids and their families is in decline, and we need to do something about it.
You bet. And Kevin, again, people want information on that, or they want to get more information on trying to work with youth and stuff?
Yeah, if you go out to our website, there's an info page. Just, send a query our way. I always get copied on every question that comes through our website, so we will get back to you. It's very important to us.
I know you got a cabin up here and spend a lot of time in the Hayward area too, don't you?
We do. I actually caught my first fish when I was 4 years old on Big Round Lake, and it's not too far from here. And I knew from that point on that it was something that I wanted to do. And we've seen repeatedly, time and time again, that kids that I read a bumper sticker one time. It was very funny. It said, "Kids who fish and hunt do not steal from old ladies." And I believe that is true.
Well, Kevin, thank you for being on, and thanks for putting on that event. I know I was into it, and it was a pleasure to be out there with the kids. And
yeah, John, you did a great job. And I always, the guides, we have many guides, but yourself, Larry Ramsell, like you said, Daryl Neibauer, the kids that go out with you guys, they always come back to me and they start up a big sales campaign on how to go back out with you guys. So you're doing something right. We really appreciate it. And please keep coming back.
Well, Art, 68 muskies for 60 kids in 2.5 days, a lot of fish.
That's great, because that doesn't happen very often, John.
Well, actually, every year at that event, they always top about 50, but it's the lake. And we're counting all size muskies, from little ones to some pretty decent fish. So anyway, we need to take a break right now and hear from more of our sponsors. To come back, I've got an interview with fishing guide Dave Durazio, and we got lots more good information for you.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
Pet owners, one of the major causes of heart problems in pets is dental disease. In addition to causing bad breath and pain, dental disease can shorten your pet's life by allowing harmful bacteria and their toxins into the bloodstream and internal organs. Dr. Ostrander and the staff at Hayward Animal Hospital suggest regular dental care and treatment early in the disease process. Prompt treatment will save teeth and extend the life of your pet. Check your pet's teeth today, and if you suspect dental disease, call Hayward Animal Hospital at 634-8971 for an appointment.
Successful anglers know knowledge is the link to fishing success. LakeLink.com is your online link to that success. In just a few mouse clicks, you'll discover how to research lakes, browse up-to-date fishing reports, communicate with other anglers, sell, shop, learn, and much more. LakeLink members also have access to online lake maps they can customize in our interactive map viewer. Get GPS coordinates, plot structure, save, and print your maps on demand. If you're missing fish, then discover the missing link, LakeLink.com. Log on today at Lake-Link.com.
Back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin. And Art, you know, we're into the fall, and fall fishing changes. It's a little bit different. It's some of our better fishing during the year. And, you know, one of the popular places is the Chippewa Flowage. And I had an interview with fishing guide Dave Drazio the other day talking about fall fishing on the flowage. There ain't nobody out there should know any more about that.
No, I think he's been around since ever.
Anyway, let's hear that little interview with Dave with some great tips on fall crappies and walleyes on the chip. Dave, when we get into fall time here, you know, a lot of guys start thinking about hunting, but there's also guys out there that are crappie and walleye fishing, looking for a few fish to put in the freezer. Any particular things that you see change and guys should be thinking about when it comes to the fall?
Right now, John, the crappies seem to be on the cribs. You might have to hit more than one crib to find them, but when you do, they're probably going to be thick on there. But when that water temperature gets a little cooler, a lot of those crappies will pull off those cribs, and they go in some of the traditional deep areas where they stack up. Places like Moore's Bay and Blueberry, and I could name several others, but they stack in there. And so sometimes you'll hit a crib and they'll be devoid of fish, but they've moved together into those big flats.
They pretty much do the same thing. That's on the chip, but they do the same thing on a lot of other lakes, too.
On flowage lakes in particular, where you've got deeper water in one area, that's where you're going to find them, is somewhere around the wood in those deeper areas.
Particular baits that seem to work better for them when you get to that?
John, those fish seem to be hungry, and it's not a real hard thing. A lot of guys will pick out just a crappie minnow on a hook and a split shot. Some of the new plastics, Gulp Alive especially, for the fish fry is really good. Even a tube skirt or something like that will work on those crappies. When they're biting like that, they're hungry, and they're willing to take most anything.
You know, one tip, too, that I can give you, and I'm sure you do it, too, is that actually once we get to that point, I'm actually looking for those crappies before I fish for them with my depth finder. You'll find them first before you even try to fish for them.
Yeah, you'll go to some of the areas, the brush, the cribs that have held fish, and you'll look at them, and if you know what you're looking at on your electronics, you can see whether or not there's fish there. If there's no fish there, don't bother fishing there. Wait until you see them.
You bet. Well, Dave, how about the fall walleyes? What kind of recommendations you give for guys for walleyes, especially on the Chippewa Flowage?
Well, right now I think there's still some walleyes up in the weeds. You find the weeds, you can find walleyes there. Water's cooled enough now that leeches are no longer effective. They're no longer available. Crawlers aren't doing that well. It's mostly a jig and minnow thing, a fathead minnow on an 1/8-ounce jig. Is probably what catches more walleyes in the fall than anything on the flowage.
How deep of water are you looking at walleyes in as we get into fall here?
As they come out of those weeds, you're going to find a lot of fish in 15 to 20 feet of water. Look for the brushy stuff down there. The snaggier, the better. You're going to go through a lot of jigs. You're going to go through a lot of minnows, but you're going to catch some fish.
Any particular color seem to work or anything on jigs in there?
You know, John, I like the bright colors on the flowage. Your orange, the chartreuse, the red, the pink. When things are tough, though, a plain jig can work, too.
Yeah, keep it as light as possible, I think, though, with the snags. That helps some?
Definitely. You want to use 6-pound test at the most. Don't use the heavy stuff.
Well, that's all good information getting Dave out here. And, you know, I know you got a couple other things to talk about here as we wrap up the show.
Well, the wolf delisting process is still in going through litigation, which is kind of surprising. And the federal government is also proposing legislation that would delist wolves. I hope that happens. And if people don't know this, you cannot leave a portable tree stand or a permanent tree stand on public property overnight. It's still illegal.
Happens all the time.
The other thing that I was interested in knowing, I thought that the tribe was doing night hunting for deer now, But that has not been settled by the courts as of this date. And so it's not allowed. That surprised me because I heard people talk about Native tribal members that are shooting deer at night. But that's not legal.
I didn't know that yet. Anyway, other things we'll talk about here. Let's talk a little bit about some fall crappie and walleye tips, Art. You know, okay. Dave gave us a bunch of good information there. And, you know, we look for those fish. Literally, when we get to the fall, when you start getting a little bit deeper, you know, we talked about this lots of times on the radio, but using your electronics. And if you learn how to use that electronics, typically I don't look for fish when they're in 8 and 10 and 12 foot of water. But once I get beyond about 17, 18 feet, where the point where the fish aren't going to move off from underneath the boat right away as soon as you go over the top of them, you can actually start marking those fish. And that's one of the key things, is actually using that electronics, learning how to use it, or going out with somebody that knows how to use it and have them show you how to set it up and to use it to actually find the fish, because you just can't catch fish where they aren't.
No, that's true. But the other thing you got to think about is, like on the Chippewa Floods, later in the fall, those crappies start to school, and they'll be around the cribs. I mean, the big cribs where the river comes in, there's always crappie there, I think.
And then they move out of the cribs. Right, once it gets too cool, they vacate the cribs and they go to the deep holes.
Right, but you have to hunt. So fishing can be hunting.
Yeah, it is hunting, and you actually look for them on your depth finders. And some tips on fishing them. I mean, we've done quite well on the crappies on Gulp. Gulp Alive has been probably the main thing I use for crappies out there. And fluorocarbon leaders is another thing you found that's effective on it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The interesting thing about the Gulp, the thing that I like, is that it's biodegradable. So if a fish ingests that Gulp, it's not going to be having it in its stomach for the rest of its life.
Let's talk a little bit about winterizing your boat. We started to talk about that last week a little bit. You know, if you're getting that boat put away, boy, it's crucial that you winterize it properly.
Yeah, there's no two ways about it, and you got to think about what you're doing. First of all, let's start with the lower unit.
Make sure that you check the oil in it, the lubricant in the lower unit. If it's milky or off color at all, you want to drain it completely out. Otherwise, sometimes if it's nice and clear, you can just top it off. But if you got any question, just change it out completely, because if you got water in there, you got bearings in there that can rust. And worst case scenario, if you got a lot of water in there, you could break the case.
Right.
If your fuel, you want to make sure that you treat it. And typically, I recommend that you don't run ethanol fuel, because it's not really good for those outboards, any of them.
I think you're absolutely right. And if you have the older engines, the two cycles, I just burn it out. I just burn all my gas out of those engines in the fall. And if they don't have anything in them, it's kind of hard to
order. Or run the carburetors dry.
Yeah, run the carburetors
dry. You know, that's an option too. But if you got a stabilizer in them, and fogging engines, I always fog the two-stroke motors, except for the direct-injected motors. And the other things, too, is you want to make sure that you check your wheel bearings, and if there's any sign of moisture in there, repack them. That way you're not going to have to worry about bearing failure in the spring or have to replace them in the spring. And your batteries. Make sure your batteries are topped off, the fluid levels are good in them, and they're charged up. Yeah.
Then you want to disconnect your negative.
You're right. Disconnect the battery. You don't have to take the battery out of the boat but, you know, some people do. But you can make sure it's disconnected. And then you should charge it up every once in a while in the winter. I typically don't disconnect my batteries, because what I do is I leave them hooked up to the onboard charger system, and I can go out and plug it in a couple times during the winter and charge them up.
Yeah, that's true. Conversely, I don't do it that way, and so I just have to take that negative off. Otherwise, I'm going to have a dead battery in the spring if I don't do something.
But anyway, taking care of that boat and winterizing it is one of the key things, and get your gear out and ready for fall. And ultimately, we're going to be looking at the ice fishing equipment, but let's not rush that quite yet.
Yeah, and you really think about your tackle box. There are a lot of people that have the old style plastics in their tackle box, and boy, I'll tell you, once you put an old tile, let's say a twister tail, on a lure, it's going to melt something. The old style stuff.
Right.
And you can't tell if it's old style or modern style.
It's up against something painted or something.
Right, so be careful. Otherwise, you're going to have a real problem next spring and you won't be happy.
You want to store that gear properly. Anyway, we're out of time for this week, folks. I want to remind you, if you miss the show, at some point we put it up on our website at wnoradio.net. We're out of time for this week.
Have fun hunting, fishing, and trapping, and winter is coming.
Let's not rush that, Art. I would rather be south someplace. But anyway, we'll see you again next week, folks.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.